perspective on just what went into the decision from Furman. And Matt also, I mean, Matt's got this covered from the statement and talking to folks there. Furman, he's got the reactions from current players and alumni, people around the program now. So really appreciate that, and appreciate Joe filling in some blanks from the presidents and sort of the university mission part of this. And some of the blanks aren't going to be filled in, Kelly. I mean, that in talking with both of those fine gentlemen in the last hour, it's clear that some of the blanks aren't going to be filled in because we don't have we just don't have enough information. And I want to get to some of Slooper's comments, but what are your thoughts on some of the things Joe said? Particularly, I think we were both struck by the it didn't want it to be death by a thousand cuts. So yeah. Basically, it was a cut off your head measure now to see what the damage is to move forward from here. Kind of a, I would say, a bold and controversial strategy. It may pay off from President Davis.
That was definitely a very interesting point. And we did the math during the break. If you look at their release that they plan on cutting 45 scholarships over the next 5 years. And they also say in the release that men's lacrosse and baseball combined to 21 scholarships. So that's 66 scholarships times $50,000. It came out to $3.3 million. So that's what they would be saving just in scholarship cost. And I think Matt made a good point about baseball. Yeah, you don't have the scholarship money where you only have 11.7 scholarships. So you're not paying for 25, 30 scholarships, but you are paying for 25 to 30 meals for every trip, uniforms, gear, cleats, hats, bats, gloves. I mean, there's a lot of equipment overall in baseball. So I think that may be part of it. And then lacrosse, unfortunately, lacrosse, it just seemed that because they were new, they got cut, which is unfortunate for lacrosse. And I actually looked this up during the break that the other D1 men's lacrosse program in South Carolina is Wofford. So according to what I just saw, Wofford does still have lacrosse. I think part of it with lacrosse, too, is that we both would agree lacrosse is a growing sport, and we don't have anything against lacrosse, but it's definitely not a super popular sport in the Southeast from what we understand. That being said, it's still puzzling because If you only have 21 combined scholarships on those two sports, that means you have a lot of lacrosse players and a lot of baseball players that seem to be paying their own way. So that, I don't know. If you're only cutting 21 scholarships, it does seem interesting that those were the two sports to cut. But when you look at Furman and you look on the men's side, we know that they have a very good men's soccer program. So they probably, maybe that factored into it. They didn't want to cut men's soccer. Tennis, I know they have good tennis facilities over there. Track and field is just kind of a whole different ball game. I'm sure this was an extremely difficult discussion for the administration at Furman. I'm sure it was an extremely difficult decision, but I'm just trying to make sense of why they would do these two sports. I think the reasons that Joe gave us do make a lot of sense.
Well, and that really is the thing, I mean, isn't it? That we all know that these cuts are going to be made across the country. I think what people just want to know is, okay, why did you make that cut? And what's your plan moving forward? How are you going to use it for the better? Because what people don't want is something I love is taken away and the situation doesn't get better. We're just doing this because we just pluck these things out of thin air. I do think it's interesting. I believe it was Matt that said that maybe baseball was in these discussions beforehand, that they were discussing the possibility of making dramatic cuts to baseball even before this happened. So it might have been a situation where, as a result of those conversations about making cuts and so forth, and we know that they have made cuts in the last couple of years that have hampered Coach Harker and his ability to build that program. But if they were already doing that, then the coronavirus shutdown that everybody went through, it wasn't a Furman-only decision. Everybody went through it, and is still going through it in very major ways right now. That maybe ramped up those conversations that were already being had. So it's not like they woke up, like I said, it's not like they woke up yesterday and they were like, all right, what sports can we cut today? That's not really how that worked.
Yeah.
There were definitely some further conversations there.
Okay, actually, I take that back. Looks like Wofford only has women's lacrosse. So Furman was the only men's lacrosse program in the state. And, you know, that could be a factor too, as we think about it, right? Because you think of the travel costs. They can't just go up the road and play Wofford. They can't, you know, they, a lot of, I'm sure they drive to almost all of these schools. They're playing Bucknell, Hampton, Navy, Utah, Duke, but you can't drive to Utah. That's not really possible. They played UNC, Penn State. They played at Air Force. They were supposed to play at Air Force on March 14th before the season got canceled. You can't drive there. So that might have been part of it with lacrosse. If you don't have a lot of contemporaries around you, then your travel budget is inherently higher. That could have been an issue with lacrosse too.
That does make some sense. I'll agree with that. Let's go to Alan, who's held on through the break, 654. And then we had to cut Slooper off, but I want to address some things that he said at the end of hour one as well. You can join Alan on the North End Communication phone lines. What's up, Alan?
Hey, doing fine. Sure, I'm enjoying the conversation there. We're close to Furman. Dad went there. My wife went there. And, boy, I know that was a very difficult decision. But I think we're probably just at the beginning of seeing this. I was reading the paper back on the 10th, and, you know, West Virginia is already saying they're going to be $5 million in the hole, Minnesota $4 million in the hole, and if we don't have fans in the stands of football, that's $30 million that they're going to lose in revenue. So it really, this is probably not surprising when you look at it, although it's a very difficult decision. I think this is probably going to be the first. I saw Bowling Green already canceled their baseball. Furman was the second in Division One. Y'all maybe already talked about that. So I think we're going to see more of that. And then I thought of just about smaller programs. I don't know if y'all discussed Erskine University or Erskine College close by to us is starting a football program this year. So what's the impact there? Does it cancel? I mean, there's just a lot of things that I think we're going to see go on. But you really look at the money. The previous caller was a little out there, but his points were right. And some there has been a lot of spending going on, but it's been based on revenue coming in. When you cut out the $375 million for the basketball tournament is not coming in. I don't know how much Furman would have got of that from the Southern Conference cut, but that's a lot of money, and I think you're going to see some sports, unfortunately, on the chopping block, which is really sad to see.
Alan, I couldn't have said it better. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. It is, I mean, really and truly, it is a broader concern. And I think both of us, we maybe disagree a little bit with Slooper's take, not generally speaking. I do think it is interesting to sort of to contrast maybe a cause and effect conversation with a fault blame conversation. And we've talked about on the show in a number of topics in the year 2020 about the difference between fault and responsibility. That might be something that I've learned in 2020 when I look back at it, the difference between fault and responsibility. There are things that happen that you're responsible for sometimes when you're in a position to be in charge that aren't necessarily your fault and that you don't really get blamed for, but you are accountable to. And what Slooper's talking about there is the rampant spending in college athletics that has led to the point where dramatic cuts have to be made. Kelly, you referenced a text on the Health Care text line during the break that basically said you could make those comments about just about every business that's going to close down. I mean, unfortunately, we're going to lose millions of businesses, small businesses in the country that are going to close their doors because of decisions that they made because of something that was a one-off, a black swan event that they could not have possibly foreseen. And I don't think even anybody's wildest contingency plans would have suggested that anything that we've seen the last 2 months from a revenue creation and stability financially standpoint was even possible.
Quack, just for an example, I'm going to read this text in a second. If a headline had come out last year, let's say, last May, and it said Furman University has a fund set aside for pandemic relief just in case, I would have read that on Hump Day headlines. That's how ridiculous that would have sounded a year ago. So I think part of that is we have to show some grace to people. And I get it. If you've been negatively impacted by this, you don't want to hear it. But we can't just pretend like this is something we all should have been preparing for. And this is from the 803. This is the text you're referring to. Not completely buying what the caller said. That was Slooper's call, which I think he did make some good points, but this is the pushback. You could use the same argument for millions of small businesses in the United States. Unfortunately, the American way is to live paycheck to paycheck, so it should not be surprising things like this are happening. Hopefully, it does teach businesses and universities that they need a big emergency fund, but he is making an argument that you could apply to most of the United States of America.
here's really the issue that college athletics are facing right now, because what Sloper is talking about is, and I would consider a lot of athletic budgets, I don't know what percentage, but I would consider a lot of athletic budgets to be filled with, let's say, frivolous spending, whether it's overstaffing, whether it's building programs. You put a slide in your facility. I mean, we laugh about a slide in a facility. Does that seem like a necessary thing that we should have spent money on now, right? But
is it necessary to fly to Wake Forest, for example?
Right, exactly.
In any sport.
However, I did like that flight back that we got when we had to drive to Wake Forest.
I
and we
don't
had to fly
think
back women's
this
basketball.
Is the time
I really got
to discuss those things, Quack.
That was in a bygone era when we didn't care about those things. Here's my pushback here. A lot of that is the price of being competitive. You don't need, I'll just take FBS for a second. You don't need 130 programs to all agree this is what we're going to make money on, or this is what we're going to spend money on. If one team does it, everybody has to do it. I talk to Clemson fans about this all the time, particularly IPTE donors who are frustrated that their cost of maintaining their IPTE levels goes up every now and then. First of all, the cost of doing everything goes up every now and then. But part of it is, well, I mean, Nick Saban hired 52, analysts, right? He's got to staff a million people. They're analysts. One for every week. He's got analysts. So Clemson, if you hire five analysts, they got 47 people working that you don't have. They're getting ahead of you because they got more people. So you got to spend money on that. People are, you know, you're not able to get some recruits because somebody, you know, built a Frankie's Fun Park or something, right? Some Six Flags over Tuscaloosa or some other, you know, some building where everybody just gets together and has fun. If your building's not as fun, you're probably not getting those recruits. You're not able to compete. And then you've got coaches who are saying, well, if you're not willing to spend money on that, then I can't achieve that way. So why am I getting fired? Why are you hiring me, or why are you trying to tell me you want to achieve at this level, but you're not spending as much money as that program? So what that leads is everybody is blowing out spending to the point that it's an unrecognizable sum of money that's going out of athletic departments for all kinds of stuff year after year after year after year. Some of that stuff is privately funded. But all of that money was raised, spent, earned with the idea that we were going to keep raising, spending, and earning that money. Think about this. You talked about pandemic relief. In the last, I'll say 70 years of time, I can't think, and I've only been alive for 30 of those, so there's 40 unaccounted for except for just reading history books. I can't think of a time when the world stopped for more than a week. September 11th, you know what happened? We stopped the world for a week, and then we got right back to it.
Yeah.
They moved one football game on one football Saturday. They didn't even cancel those games. They moved them to the back end of the season. Major League Baseball stopped for a little bit, just a very small, and then they made up those games. We haven't had a season cut short in any sport for any reason other than lockout or union strife in my lifetime, in 30 years. We haven't had one. There's been no world event that has led to games disappearing, $1 billion revenue streams disappearing, like the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments. There is no contingency plan for this. So while Sloper might be right that a little bit of college athletics is spending like drunken sailors, I would argue that our structure, some things that we very obviously assumed would be still in place, if it never changes, that doesn't matter. And we might be talking about why are we spending money on these things, but in reality, it's still going to be spent because it needs to be spent if you want to compete. Do you agree or disagree with that assessment, Kelly?
Yes, I do, Quack. And I don't know if all these arguments apply to Furman. Again, I don't know enough about their finances. I don't know enough about what they spend athletically. I really don't. But the arms race in the SoCon, it doesn't compare to the arms race in college football in the FBS. At least monetarily. The numbers just don't compare. There's no way they can compare. And the bottom line with all this, we talk about this, Quack, when we talk about the new name, image, likeness rules, all these things, is the model we have was not set up for college athletics to be a billion-dollar business. It's your favorite saying, Quack. It's a square peg, round hole. It doesn't really work. And I'll defend Title IX till the death, okay? And no one's really yelling at us for it anyway, but I don't know why I just feel the need to do this. Title IX was instituted.
You're very conflicted about Title IX today.
Well, I don't like seeing anybody suffer. I know the work that goes into being a student athlete. I feel horrible for these guys over at Furman. I really, really do. And I hate when Title IX negatively impacts male athletes, but Title IX was instituted before any of this was a billion-dollar business. So the law had it was not shaped for what we have right now. It just existed to give women opportunities, and it has benefited countless women. And I had someone on Twitter respond to me and say, well, hasn't Title IX negatively impacted men from the beginning? Okay, you can look at it that way, but I think it's positively impacted society as a whole. That being said, when you look at something like Furman, you know, Title IX was not instituted to bring men down. That was not the point. The point was to help raise women up. And I think for the most part, in normal circumstances, even as this college athletics has transformed into a billion-dollar business, it has done its job. It just so happens that right now we have a global pandemic that no one could have foreseen, that Joe, our guest from WYFF, said Furman baseball has only stopped playing two times ever, World War II and the Great Depression. And now coronavirus has caused it to cease to exist. These are completely unprecedented times. And so to blame institutions for spending too much money, to blame Title IX, to blame all this, yes, I'm sure those are all factors in this, but this is just, for lack of a better term, a crazy freak situation.
It does tell people. I mean, you even made this point off the air. It shows people how much legitimate life is lived paycheck to paycheck for businesses and for people who own businesses and for athletic departments. It's paycheck to paycheck a lot. Now some of it is nonprofit status. You got to get that money out somehow, somewhere. You can't just rake in dough because it's not for profit. And part of that, you know, part of that is for tax reasons and all. But it's not like schools are sitting on major nest eggs that are earmarked for this stuff and they're not spending it on something else. And when the revenue dries up, and if it dries up in a major way, like major main funding goes away, then a lot of businesses go away. And Furman is trying to deal with that right now. And so it is a very, very difficult thing. And again, that's why there are more questions than answers and why there might not be answers for some years on this. And we'll continue to lean on people like Matt and people like Joe who are doing some good reporting on this. It was interesting. Matt gave us some thoughts on Clemson's schedule. South Carolina has released their fall plan. Notre Dame has released their fall plan. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this.
It's interesting. I wonder if it'll be more widely spread out in terms of a lot of the country doing it this way. We'll talk about the potential impacts on athletics there in the next segment. Stay with us. More to come on Out of Bounds. Hour 2 continues in a moment.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Flattening the curve has quickly become a new buzz phrase in our daily lives. At JanPro of the Western Carolinas, their goal is to help your business stay ahead of the curve by ensuring a safe and clean environment for your customers and your employees. JanPro of the Western Carolinas performs a thorough evaluation of your business and then goes to work with infection prevention in the following manner. Using EnviroShield, an electrostatic disinfectant spray, performing deep cleans at your business. Using hospital-grade disinfectants, utilizing cross-contamination prevention, cleaning with flat mops, and installing HEPA filter vacuums, which trap nearly 100% of particles. Infection prevention is what JanPro of the Western Carolinas is in business to do for your business. Call 864-458-3053. Be prepared, gain knowledge, and move forward with JanPro of the Western Carolinas, 864-458-3053.
Coach Dabo Sweeney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
With all the overtime our appliances have been taking on these last several weeks, it wouldn't be shocking if one called it quits. Silver lining? Maybe you wanted a new one anyway. Lowe's has you covered during our appliance savings event with 12-month special financing to help with the unexpected and up to 40% off select appliances, including the best brands to fit your style and budget. Plus, we'll even deliver for free. Download our app or shop Lowe's.com today. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $299 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply. U.S. only.
You can always get through to us on the Northland Communications Hotline, 864-654-7627. Call the Roar.
Two continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Graham. Like this hour, the program is brought to you in part by our very good friends at Easley Lawn and Garden. Go to the website, easleylawn.com. They've got great deals for you there, including deals on the Husqvarna auto mower. Listen, you've been trusting these folks in Easley for almost 40 years. There is no reason whatsoever, no reason whatsoever, to change your habits now. They can get you that Husqvarna auto mower. They can go out in the yard. It can get that mowing done in a very short window of time. Let's say like this week, you need to cut your grass, right? And there might be like even a day, like a 3-hour, 2-hour window, but you've got something going on. You got a Zoom call at work. You got some stuff to do during that time. And by the time you get done, it might start raining again. You might need to let that auto mower go while you take care of whatever inside or while you just relax. You just do it because you want to. That's the beauty of Husqvarna. You can return because of the Crown Commitment Program, that Husqvarna auto mower, if you're not satisfied within 60 days for an exchange or a refund. Listen, folks, they're veteran, family-owned, and operated. They are locally minded. These are the great folks at Easley Lawn and Garden. Your experts, professionals for sales, installation, and service for all your power equipment needs. 312 South Pendleton Street in Easley. Check them out online at easleylawn.com. A lot of good feedback on Furman and a lot of questions. And again, hopefully we've answered them as well as we possibly can and give as much information as we can. Right now, we're less than 24 hours in. Again, there can't stress this enough. There are going to be more questions and answers on this, and they are not going to be the last program to make these sorts of cuts. The next one, again, it may be Chicago State. Chicago State's the one that's that's contemplating shutting down baseball, and they had to reschedule and change their call last night because people hijacked it and were kind of nasty on the call, according to a couple of the reports I saw. So hopefully that gets sorted out, and we hope that every program gets to keep everything, but we understand the facts of life here.
And Quack, we're going to get into some of the new schedules for academic years and all that, but we've had a few techs that have talked about the idea of not having football apply to Title IX requirements, which I think is interesting. And it plays into our discussion that we've had throughout the past couple years when it comes to money in college athletics, that maybe football should just be its own entity. So that would be interesting, and it could help people overall. Now, of course, football makes all the money, so you've got a problem there. And that's a hurdle you'd have to leap over. I'm not going to just live in this fairy tale world where we can completely separate the money football makes from everybody else. But one of the big reasons why you have to cut men's sports, even outside of coronavirus times, is because you have so many men on the football team. What do you make of all that?
You know what? That is interesting. I don't know how you would possibly do that now. I understand the rationale behind it, that it's because of football that there are scholarship inequities in the other sports because you're trying to make up that 85. And there are also sports that are, and I don't know the actual term, I call them scholarship eaters, where you put a ton of people on scholarship just to say that your numbers are stable, are the same, but you're not really devoting a lot of resources to that sport, and it seems like a bit more of a numbers game than a good faith effort. Probably every school has one of those where you're just kind of throwing that number around. It does seem like maybe a good, like you talked about, it does seem like maybe a good idea just functionally, but I don't know how you extricate yourself from that without just cutting women's sports or cutting significantly funding to women's sports at basically every school. And that's not really right either. Just because we've kind of taken football out, because that's what they do. If you tell
right, and then it schools, comes. Yes, I get what you're saying, but I also think that, and this is an interesting thing for me to say, but there were things that we were given as women's basketball players that, to me, I just understood it as, you know, this is what it's like to play at a big D1 school. But did we need those things? Probably not. Like, do we need to fly to Wake Forest? Probably not. Those are the hard questions, right? Those are some questions you need to ask. But here's the thing, too. If the women don't need to fly to Wake Forest, do the men need to fly to Wake Forest?
And that really is the issue there, is that a lot of the things
that needs to fly to Wake Forest, by the way.
Right. There are, except, you know, Syracuse, Boston College,
no,
Miami.
Clemson needs to. There's a reason why the Atlantic Coast Conference was formed initially. It's because you can drive to the Triangle. You can drive to Wake Forest. You can drive to Georgia Tech. You could drive to Virginia Tech.
One of Slooper's better points was talking about the athletic programs that are going to be millions in the hole. The first one that everybody brings up is West Virginia, which I would argue that's not even – I don't even feel bad.
Y'all
honestly
did this to yourself.
Maybe I should feel bad for West Virginia, but you landlocked yourself 1,000 miles from the closest school, and you're wondering why now you've blown out your athletic budget. Please, give me a freaking break on that.
Isn't this a problem that's even bigger than West Virginia? It's because our eyes get big because of football, and so we say, oh, yeah, West Virginia will join the Big 12. Or we've got the American Conference that has teams all over the place, right? Or you have Miami and Syracuse that are literally – I don't know, I'd have to look it up, 2,500 miles away or whatever. And they're in the same league. You've got Nebraska and Rutgers in the same league. A lot of that is people that are way above the student athletes making these decisions. And then it trickles down to student athletes being punished because there's not enough money.
I have also fallen victim to this, and I'll come clean with the audience here, and I'll come clean to you, Kelly Gramlich, because
it's about time, Quack.
We're friends, and I feel like we can have heart to hearts like this, and our audience has gotten used to us bearing our souls. I have fallen victim in this crisis to a bit of selfishness with regards to the bubble in which we live. We are in the Clemson bubble.
Yes.
You're in the ACC bubble in a lot of ways that's bigger. Broader, your focus is a little bit broader, but for me and a lot of Clemson people, we are specifically in the Clemson bubble. And the thing
can
that
I
matters,
be in the Clemson bubble too? Can I be in both bubbles?
Look, absolutely. I just feel like you get the chance to travel, like you get to be in the Boston College
maybe
bubble.
Maybe not
when
anymore.
You're, you know, advocating for them to make the tournament. You get to be in the Florida State bubble. You get to be in all these bubbles, right? But we're basically confined to the Clemson bubble in terms of our livelihood and in terms of our enjoyment, shall we say. At Clemson, I don't know if people fully grasp it. And every time I grasp it, I forget it. So even if you grasp it today, you might lose your grip on it tomorrow. I can remember, this is going to be so weird. I can remember in 2009 or 10, one of those 2 years, I was reading, it was a college football preseason magazine. This is when I was a student at Clemson working in sports information and trying to do on-campus radio and all these things. And so it's during an off-season, during a summer, I'm reading this preseason magazine, and it's a story on the impact of the financial collapse in 2007, 08, and the ramifications went into 09. I think it was the summer of 09, if I remember correctly. But it talked about some big-time programs, and I can't even remember which one. I want to say Miami, but at that point, I can't even remember which program it was talking about. And at one point in the story, it said that Miami and a few other programs have reported less assistance from the general university in that particular the previous athletic year than they had received in X number of years. It was a decrease, and it was a decrease over a decrease. Like it was back to back years of less money, and it was talking about how it was a spending thing. It was a spending and revenue thing. These budgets continue to go up and up and up, but some of these schools, you know, tuition was they were having some issues because people couldn't pay to go to school and all this stuff, and revenues were down a little bit at that time. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, schools do that? Like from the university subsidizes athletics? Because I'm in a Clemson bubble where athletics is self-sustaining. And in fact, as a part of furloughs at that time, which we were also, everybody had furloughs that summer, I remember, whatever summer this was, 08, 09, 010, whatever it was, that there were some furloughs. And as part of that, the assistance that athletics had to give back to the university, the general fund at Clemson, was increased. So you've got some programs, and I'm going to use whining because that's how I thought of it at the time. You've got some athletic departments that were whining because their university wasn't giving them as much money. Meanwhile, at Clemson, the university was requesting more money from athletics. Athletics was making enough money at Clemson to help subsidize the academic mission of the university rather than just being a subsidiary that was taking to help make ends meet from the university. As I did more research on that, because it blew me away, I realized that Clemson is a fish out of water in this because the vast majority of athletic departments in the country are relying heavily, or to a great degree, on general funds from the university to help subsidize their scholarships and their mission in terms of athletics. That is something that, in Clemson, while we're not really, like, I've never been worried for a second about, as long as we have football, not worried for a second about financially what's going to happen to the town. It ain't going to become a ghost town, whatever, as long as we have football. But there are some athletic departments that are going, as long as we get half our freshmen, as long as our enrollment doesn't decrease by half, as long as we don't have major, major cuts we have to make on the academic side, where academics is going, we're not giving you bupkis this year because we can't even pay our own bills. There are a lot of athletic departments that are going to be in that situation. And so, I'm confessing that I'm a little bit in the Clemson bubble here where I'm not concerned for a bit because athletics has got this. But in a lot of places, athletics does not got this. And they need the university to be profitable, and they need the university to be well-functioning in order to survive at the level that they are.
It's a very good point, Kwok. And Clemson is one of those schools nationally that seems to have, and again, there's stuff behind the scenes that we aren't privy to and all that, but seems to have a pretty good relationship between their academic side and their athletic side. We know Jim Clements is a big advocate for athletics, and he sees how much athletics can benefit the actual university. And that's not true everywhere. But we know, Kwok, especially since I was a freshman in 2011, or since you were a freshman back in,
07. The year was 55.
07.
Unbelievable.
But we've seen the growth. The growth on this campus, the growth in enrollment, the growth in every which way, really because of the success of football. Now, you could also point to other factors, sure, but this area of the country has grown. But a lot of it has to do with football. And so I do think it's a good reminder because in Clemson, those things seem to work well together. And, you know, Matt, I quoted him in what he said on our show. He said that, I believe there's a Board of Trustees meeting. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Yikes. Here it is. There's no talk of Clemson cutting any athletic programs, and no coaches have been placed on furlough or anything like that. It seems like Clemson has been very smart with their money. Yes, I would say the administration has handled things well, but I also think Clemson is in a unique position that, to your point, a lot of other schools and institutions just are not.
it really is interesting to think about the different perspectives that are going to be required to keep things going during this time. We've seen the Furman perspective, and that is one remedy, certainly, and there are other schools that are going to try to do it a different way. And we won't know the extent of it probably until we see what enrollment looks like and until we see what tuition dollars look like across the country and, you know, how much of our next seasons get played. It is going to be really interesting to see how many other Furmans are out there. And it's going to be sad. I'm not looking forward to it at all. But I do think that it is important for us to remember, as frustrated as we might be, and it's frustrating for me. I tweeted that I was embarrassed and frustrated yesterday, and a friend of mine tweeted me back and said, what do you mean by embarrassed and frustrated?
You have some personal connections to Furman as well.
Well, I do.
Which plays into it, I think.
I do. And, well, first off, it's embarrassing for Furman to come out and, like, I'm sure they were embarrassed. We can't fund these programs anymore. That is inherently embarrassing. But also, maybe we could have made better decisions 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or different decisions 5, 10, 15 years ago, even though we didn't know this was coming, that would have put us in a better position here. Maybe we could have done some things differently. So you look at it with regret. And it's frustrating because you know that there are people who are fairly innocent in all this that were made promises that were not kept. Now, academically, they're going to honor all these scholarships for people who are coming in and for people who are exiting out. But they're not going to be able to fulfill their athletic dreams and the things that they were promised by everybody when they were being recruited. They're not going to be able to fulfill those. That is the frustrating part. And that embarrassment and frustration is going to be felt by a lot of fan bases and a lot of communities and a lot of leaders who are having to make these difficult decisions who don't feel like they have a choice.
Quack, Nick gets in on the text line and says, can you tell me what athletics were like in World War II when you were a student? And then he signs it, Nick the Zoomer, not Boomer, Zoomer. Is this a new term for Gen Z?
Man.
I think it would be the generation after us. They'll be the Zoomers and not the Boomers.
The Zoomers?
It works with Gen Z. That's almost perfect.
I'm good with that, unless we're going to save it. Like the baby boomers were born in the period of the baby boomers,
oh,
right?
Oh, so born so, during the rise of Zoom.
Yeah, so like
your parents anybody went on a first date via Zoom.
2021 to 2022, those would be the Zoomers, right? Those would
we'll
be the
see.
Zoomers.
We'll see.
There'd been an increase in Zoomers being born around March or April of 2021. interesting stuff there. We'll get off that topic right now. Stay with us. We have Trivia Tuesday. We have a lot more to come. We never did actually get to the academic calendars. We'll talk about that next as well. Stay with us. More to come on Abounds in a moment.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. How about a little Clemson baseball history on this date, May 19th? May 19th, 1993, the Clemson Tigers win the Atlantic Coast Conference Baseball Tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. Clemson defeats NC State 11-7 in the championship game in a game that ended at 1:21 in the morning. Jeff Morris's grand slam gave Clemson the victory. It was just the senior's second career home run. And here's some irony for you. Both of Morris's home runs were grand slams. Both of them were off the same NC State pitcher, David Allen. Both of those home runs came in the eighth inning with one out, and both grand slams gave Clemson the lead. Whatever it was, Morris had David Allen's number, that was for sure. Now, let's take it forward to May 19th of 1994. Clemson is in the midst, once again, of winning an ACC baseball championship in Greenville, South Carolina, as the Tigers would make it to the championship game that would be played on May 22nd, and they would knock off Florida State by a score of 4-1. Oh, for the ACC championship to come back to Greenville. Our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union. Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Flagship station for Clemson football. We are the Roar.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side.
Hour two continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live at Priority One Security Studios. Keeps us secure. Priority the number one security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. You know what? Kelly, I did something that's controversial. I just followed Texags.
What?
On Twitter. I realized I wasn't following them. But I enjoyed reading their most recent tweets.
Do you think Olin will see?
I don't. Probably. Probably. I'm going to say this, though. I did see a couple retweets of their, like, Ross Bjork is having, he's having a teleconference, and he said, I mean, Fresno State said, we're coming to Kyle Field. So.
We're coming to get paid.
And they're in the. They're in the.
That's what they said. Did you read the whole quote?
System.
We're coming because we need the money.
That is the new translation of we're monitoring the landscape of college football. We're coming to Kyle Field. Count on us being there. Is that the actual
we're coming
quote from
to balance
State,
the books?
That's correct.
But yeah, you're right. And Fresno State's in that Cal State system. That's a good point.
And then there was this one that I loved that I just can't. We just can't spend a lot of time on it because last time we really spent a lot of time on. Texags, I like. We got into that tiff with Olin, and I don't really want to. I like Olin.
Are you saying we?
As a show and station, you help me find.
Don't
my battles
drag
for
me. Don't drag me into your nonsense.
This is a quote. Cole Kubelik of the SEC Network. That's what it says on Texags an hour ago. If I have to choose a guy with, wasn't Cole the guy that put NC State in his top four? Wasn't he NC State's top four guy?
Yes.
But
a couple years ago.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
When it wasn't the dumbest thing. It was only kind of dumb. If I have to choose a guy with talent and the experience to know what he's bringing to the table, it is fill in the blank, Kelly. Who would it be? Is it A, Donald Trump? B, Blake Griffin? C, Mark Cuban? Or D, Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond.
It is Kellen Mond, baby. Texag saying it. If I have to choose a guy with talent and experience and know what he's bringing to the table, it is at the Kellen Mond.
Oh, my gosh.
I made my
what
top
exactly
five list.
Does he bring to this table?
Well, this is what's funny about it. One way of reading this, you could read it as a backhanded compliment. Because basically what they're saying is, if there's a guy in all college football that is so predictably there, it is Kellen Mond. Because he says he has the experience to know what he's bringing to the table, which read a different way, it says he has the experience to know what he is not bringing to the table. And what he is not bringing to the table is anything beyond 24 touchdowns and anything less than 9 interceptions. He is right in the zone right here, and all Jimbo quarterbacks are 20 touchdown, 8 interception, 3,000-yard machines. I am Kellen Mond, also Christian Ponder, also E.J. Manuel, everyone but Jameis that he has ever touched. That's what it is.
DeAndre
That's
Francois?
What they do. I am Diamond Francois, and I am Diamond. Just the same as Kellen Mond. That all these quarterbacks are 20-8 guys. Cole Kubelik, great compliment.
You know
there.
When 20-8 was good? 1998. That would have been great.
When Terry Bradshaw won NFL MVP with 54 interceptions that year. Remember that?
Quack,
I'll never forget arguing Will Vandervoort about that.
Because this discussion kind of plays into the quiz.
Oh, man.
There's a little tidbit off the quiz that is going to blow your mind how much college football has changed in 20 years.
You know what? I'm really not even mad at Kellen Mond. Like, I probably should state for the record that I don't want to just bash Kellen Mond relentlessly.
We are
but
hard
enough
on
is
him.
Enough. Enough is enough. Truth is truth. Facts are facts. The guy's a 20-9 quarterback. We say 20-9 quarterbacks are nice. We don't say they're like top 10 quarterbacks. We both did top 5 lists of quarterbacks in the SEC. Partially because somebody put John Reese Plumlee on the top 5 list. John Reese Plumlee was on the top 5 list. And Kellen Mond is on any
that
of our lists.
That is so unfortunate.
Right? You didn't put Kellen Mond on your list?
Well, I haven't made my list yet.
Oh, okay.
I told you we had to wait because I had a lot of other things to do today.
That is true.
I had to make your quiz.
I wasn't trying to call you out on air. That is true.
Quack,
that
I didn't true. Do my homework. Sorry. I was making your quiz.
Oh, man. That is funny,
me some
though.
Time.
All right. Speaking of programs that think they should achieve more but haven't recently, Notre Dame announced yesterday that they are going to, you like that?
You sound just like me.
Yeah, right? I had to pivot somehow. They are going to start August 10th, the fall semester, which they were going to start like August 24th. They're going to cancel fall break and end the semester before Thanksgiving. Kelly, that is very similar to the plan that the University of South Carolina has implemented for the fall. What do you make of this plan?
I like it. I think this is very smart, and it's a way, it's what we've been talking about with, you know, how can we ease back into normal? You can't just go 0 to 100 real quick with all that's going on. And so both Notre Dame and South Carolina have announced plans to modify the fall schedule, but still have students on campus and still be able to provide an education and a college experience to their students. So this is from University of South Carolina, sc.edu, and this was announced May 17th at 9 p.m. The university has announced information about an accelerated fall semester with in-person instruction concluding at Thanksgiving break. So, and they're getting rid of fall break as well. Over the summer, we will be carefully coordinating a gradual expansion, which is exactly what I think people need to do, of on-campus operations. The first phase of this process will be limited to essential employees and those who cannot readily continue remote work. During this time, employees should not report to campus unless they've been specifically notified to do so by their supervisor. The release also says that the university has final guidance on CARES Act funds and will begin immediately distributing the federal financial assistance directly to students and et cetera, things like that, Pell Grants and all that. So I think this is very good news to gradually ease back into getting people on campus. And so the idea of you're going to start, and I believe what it says is South Carolina will start at their normal start time. So classes will begin on August 20th. And Labor Day will be a remote class day. So you won't go to class on Labor Day, but that will count as a class day, which is a little different, I believe, than normal. Fall break is canceled. Classes will be held on October 15th and 16th. On Election Day on November 3rd, that will also be a remote class day. So you're basically getting away with a few of these holidays that you would normally take to accelerate the semester. On November 24th, face-to-face instruction will end. November 25th through 29th, you have Thanksgiving break. November 30th, December 1st, and December 2nd through 4th are remote class days or reading days. And then you'll have final exams all online December 7th through 14th. This makes a lot of sense. And the main reason is because you don't want people traveling back after Thanksgiving break, and especially during a time, November and December, when we believe we'll see some spikes in cases.
You know, I have said in the past that I am against long-range planning that seems to lack definitive information. That you can't really, like, we don't know if this is going to be necessary or not, long-range planning. After these plans are out and I like them, I had to look myself in the mirror and say, what kind of a man are you? What kind of a person are you? Are you willing to still have this stance? And the reality is I need to amend my stance. I need to amend my stance on this. I am against long-range planning that makes us less likely to do normal things. So long-range planning that says we're going to lock down our state till the 1st of August, that is, I'm very opposed to that. Long-range planning that says, you know what, we're going to try to have a semester with students on campus as much as possible, and we're going to try to make it as undisruptive. What is that? I don't know how to make disruptive negative. As ruptive as possible. I don't even know what that is. As smooth as possible. I don't know.
Ruptive sounds bad, so I don't know about that.
We want to make it as normal, as functional as possible. That's probably a better way of putting it. And ruptive sounds like some sort of reaction.
Yeah,
like,
I don't want any part of ruptive.
Just clog my ruptive tank. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. All right, so
it sounds like rupture.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, so we don't need to do that. So I am for this. All right, how can we long range plan to try to have our cake and eat it too? How can we long range plan to ensure that everything that we need to go right goes right for this semester, where we're not going to have great information until we're in it? How can we have a contingency plan that keeps most everything going functionally for the longest amount of time, and then we have a clean break and reset, catch our breath, and figure out, did that work? Do we need to change it for the second semester? I love this plan. Kelly, you know who doesn't love this plan? Our friend Danny Downer hates this plan.
No!
Dan Walken hates this plan. The guy who has been saying, we need to shut everything down and shutter your windows because everyone is going to die. That is what Dan Walken has been shouting forever and ever, except when he's on furlough, where he tells us every time when he's going to furlough and then coming back, my life has been slightly more negative. He's not being furloughed this week, and I don't wish people were furloughed. I just needed to throw that out there. He said yesterday, I feel like it's a little bit far in the future to be making these claims.
You got to make plans at some point, people, because people need to know what to do and if they're going to get paid and all these types of things.
Golly,
and if they're going to go to school. I want to add quickly about the Notre Dame situation, because you referenced that Notre Dame is planning on starting classes August 10th, 2 weeks earlier, foregoing fall break and ending the semester before Thanksgiving. I want to add, this is from Notre Dame's website, that they also have other significant protocols in place. So the plan conceived for students, faculty, and staff will include comprehensive testing for COVID-19, contact tracing, quarantine and isolation protocols, social distancing and mask requirements, and enhanced cleaning of all campus spaces. As a part of its plan, the university has identified facilities to isolate students who test positive and quarantine students who have been in close contact. Testing, contact tracing, and the quarantine isolation protocols will continue throughout the semester and as long as necessary. That's interesting. So Notre Dame says, that's very specific. We will quarantine students here. We will isolate students here. I think that's a very important thing to have when you are planning to have students back on campus too.
You know what? I like that. I didn't read that part, but I'm glad they have it. I'm glad they thought that far, because a lot of these plans have been more, more hypothetical.
Yeah,
more pie in
and
the sky.
So some schools are probably waiting a little longer because they want to make sure they have these in place. And it says Notre Dame officials have consulted for months. I don't know about that. Maybe a month and a half, with experts on the faculty members of the infectious disease departments at several leading institutions, a team of medical specialists from Cleveland Clinic, and Dr. Mark Fox from the St. Joseph County Department of Health. Can we get these people on a call for college football or something? Notre Dame's putting together this whole group. Maybe we can talk to them because they've already got a plan.
I haven't said this much, so it needs to be pointed out that this is a momentous occasion. we should give a round of applause to Notre Dame.
I think we should.
For their foresight and their ability to help the rest of us have better lives.
To be clear, Brian Kelly had nothing to do with this.
Oh, man.
Shout out Father Jenkins.
Can you confirm that Brian Kelly was not in these meetings with a good idea?
I cannot confirm, but he is not mentioned in this release. So I assume he's out there preparing for another mediocre season.
I love that coronavirus has not killed really either of our zeals to just bash the people we don't like. I love that so much. Hey, this hour of the program is brought to you by Zero Res. When your home is no longer just for living, when your home is a daycare or a school or a workplace, spills happen. We're spending more time in our homes than ever before, which means the ability to have a clean home is even more important than ever, and the ability to keep your home healthy. And the ability to keep things sound, to keep things functioning, to keep you comfortable while you're in your home. That's a big deal. And so Zero Res has made it their calling. They've made it a cause to use their zero residue formula, their zero residue process, with zero contact, where they're going to wear gloves, masks, and shoe covers, disinfect their equipment. They're going to wash their hands before and after jobs. They're going to social distance during cleaning. They're also going to give you a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting and common touch services. You can get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $129 right now. Schedule that cleaning with Zero Res today. Call 558-7300. Schedule online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Jim Davis? Is that Jim Davis on hold? We'll get to him.